cause the light poured in. Day two, let the flood begin. Day one, left me in my bed. I can barely remember it. Heart shattered in a thousand ways. They tell me pain gonna come in waves. They tell me I'm gonna be okay. I'm still waiting for the first to break. Why would you give and then take him away? Suddenly in, could you not let it fade? What I would give for a couple of days. A couple of days. Is it just across the Jordan? Or a city in the stars? Are you singing with the angels? Are you happy where you are? Well, until this show is over and you run into my arms, God has you in heaven, but I have you in my heart.
We are back, and Tim Manzer joins me in studio. Tim, how long have you been at New Hope now?
23 years.
That's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing they put up with you for that.
I know. I should have been fired a long time ago.
Well, we're glad you're here. You're here for a reason, though. We're talking about a conversation about grief happening at the first ever Community Impact Luncheon taking place coming up November 9th from 11:30 to 1 at Flat Cap Ventures in near Chum's Corner area. Grief is not a fun topic. I keep talking about that every day. It's not a fun thing, but it's a necessary thing, correct?
Absolutely. Because I believe if you don't talk about grief, it's going to come out in other forms, whether you like it or not. It's going to come out in anger. It's going to come out in addiction. Difficult things that sometimes don't even surface as grief, but they actually have a trauma behind them.
And we've experienced the last few years in our country, well, the world actually, lots of grief. Grief of losing loved ones. Grief of, you know what, people losing their businesses, losing their freedoms in some cases. Losing a lot in just in the last few years. And it's something that affected the whole world at one time, which is really unique. And I think we're all still trying to kind of come out of that. In a sense, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And grief can come in many different forms. And this could help any kind of grief. I had a dear friend that did lose his business, right? And then later on, his dog died and he went into a depression where he needed some help. Yeah. But the dog was like the tipping point.
Sure.
It was like, I can't take anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the hard part, right? Is that we don't talk about it very well because we have to be this society where everybody's got it together. And we're going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and keep going, right?
Yeah, and I think that Christians often do that in very unhealthy ways. The Bible says we grieve, but not as those that have no hope. But we must grieve. We must acknowledge it. It's real, and it's got to be part of our life. And part of my seminar does say that we have to acknowledge the awful is awful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jesus says right there, you just quoted it, we grieve, which also means that there's going to be something that happens in our life that causes us to need to grieve.
Absolutely.
So we're not insulated from events in our life that are taking place. He said we're going to have problems.
Yeah, we're going to suffer.
I read a verse yesterday or the day before about that, how the righteous will have problems.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of what did I do wrong? No, you can be living the right way and things will still happen in your life. And that's just bad or it's awful. Like you said, we have to recognize that. What are some things that you're going to be discussing at this event coming up in November?
Well, you know me, Jason. I'll be telling some stories.
A few of them, I'm sure.
Yeah, and my own grief path, it began pretty young. Sorrow is what led me into ministry. I'll be talking about different aspects of grief. I call it the healthy pathways of grief,
sure.
Those kind of pathways that you ought to walk. The first two being is awful. And acknowledging that pain has to be real, we'll be talking about that. I have a story behind that, that when I was working on my master's project, that really helped me understand that it can be fatal to not acknowledge reality and pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing I'll be talking about is that's the next point. There's 10 altogether. I won't do all 10 points right here, but that shame never healed anything, never healed a marriage, never healed any other thing in life, and that shame or guilt, and I struggled with that in a particular death setting. It could never help. The shame should be excluded from the grieving process.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to play a clip from Toby Mac because 3 years ago on this past Sunday is when he and his wife Amanda lost their oldest son, Truett. He was 21 years old, accidental overdose, and he's still going through those. He did an interview about what it's like for him, and I just want to play a clip from that when we come back and have Pastor Tim help us kind of break that down and see if we can relate it to our own lives. Tim, what is your educational background?
Well, I have an undergraduate in drama. in religion.
Which is why you can handle people's drama.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
Scene two.
That's why I like you. And
he's not lying.
And then my master's was from Moody Graduate School. It was called Imam Ed, and the emphasis was in grief counseling.
Okay.
And then I did a pastoral clinical care residency at University of Michigan's Med Center to be a hospital chaplain at one time in my life.
Go blue.
Yeah, go blue.
Big game coming up this Saturday.
I am excited. Crush Michigan State. All right. Jason did say
I didn't say that.
Don't send him any notes.
I wasn't clapping. I want to play this clip real quick, Tim, from Toby Mack, who 3 years ago this last Sunday, he and his wife Amanda lost their son, Truett. He was 21, accidental overdose, which is tragic. And he talks about how he met a guy who invited him to play golf on his golf course, and he was sharing with Toby his own story of grieving, and he just gave him this advice.
But, you know, he told me that when you go through something hard and you have to grab onto something you can trust. And his thing was grab onto a promise of God. This he told me after, because he called me. He said, you're going to want to grab onto a promise of God. And he goes, but just make sure you grab onto something God really promised us. Because when we're in the darkest valley, we might grab onto something that God never promised us at all. He said, make sure, you know, God, you might grab onto something like, I shouldn't be facing loss, or God's good and this shouldn't happen to me on earth. But he said, that's not promises of God. God didn't promise us we wouldn't face loss. He goes, God promised us that he would never leave us or forsake us.
You relate to that?
Totally.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced that when dealing with people? Like they realize, or they try to blame God, they get angry with him, or, which is, I would think would be natural, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they either go, as Christians, they get mad at God. How, God, would you dare not fulfill these promises that he never gave us? Or they'll go completely the other way, and it'll be a crazy Christian spin on why it's fine. They're in heaven. They're in a better place, and we're not weeping. We're not crying, and we're fine now. We're fine. We're over this. When eventually that kind of grief will explode on you someday in a very dark way.
What do you take from what Toby said? What stands out?
Well, first of all, the promise that he brought up is exactly the promise I will tell everybody to hold on to.
Yeah.
That one of the things that you're prone to do in sorrow, at least I am, there are different grief styles. My grief style, which is pretty common, will be prone to isolate, not talk to anybody about it. If I am grieving, I won't be around people while I'm grieving, which is still true. And I have to learn limited vulnerability, find that person I can talk to, those individuals, but not a lot of people. Mm. And I believe that's a safe way of living life. And I'll be prone not to go to God about it either. And just deal with it. And that promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you, hold on to that, that he's here in your sorrow. You know, I go back to Mary and Martha, and you see him coming up. Lazarus has died. They're having this conversation, and it's a beautiful conversation. It's about eternity. And then Jesus weeps. Now, why does he weep? Because, you know, I'm pathetic. I would have just said, hey, watch this. Lazarus, raise up. Everybody stop crying. Stop crying. But that's not what Jesus did.
Right.
He wept with them. And why? It's a purely human reason.
Sure.
He is moved by their tears and their loss and their sorrow, and he joins it. It's empathy.
Yeah.
And that's what God is doing, too. He weeps with you. He is not a stranger to your sorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been speaking in context mostly of grieving as a result of someone that you've lost in your life. But I want to take it a little bit different way, Pastor Tim, and that is to be vulnerable a little bit, not too much here, but I'm kind of going through some stuff in my own life that I'm figuring out I need to change. I need to be different in my behaviors and some of my attitudes and things like that. Do you think there's an opportunity or there's a reality there that sometimes people can grieve the comfort of what they've always known heading into the unknown of what is it going to be like now? Because I've always ever known it to be this way. Is that a reality? Is that just me going?
Absolutely. Every life change is a grief process. Everyone, everything new. I remember when my daughter was getting married and my wife asked me about it, you know, are you really happy? And it wasn't.
Yeah.
Now she was married a great guy, but my grief was I'm going through a change, and this is a dramatic change. She was my buddy, my friend, my hiking partner, and I have to give her up to this bum. I mean, this wonderful young man. And
I'll edit that out in a minute.
But it was a transition.
Sure.
That was forever changing. I was giving it up. It was something new that I didn't know what it was going to look like. I'm so thankful for it now. thankful for those granddaughters that have come in play and that I love and enjoy. And but it was new. And by the way, never be ashamed that you're grieving something. God, the Holy Spirit says that we can grieve him. If God can have grief, we should have grief, and we should not be ashamed of it. And we can grieve about the behavior of how it impacted our past, or how it's going to change in the future. It's part of the process of life. And we look at everything and go, well, that's a profound thing. My wife literally said to me, how do you feel, Tim? And I said, could you ask me in 6 months?
Yeah, right. Sure.
And in 6 months, she actually asked the question.
Oh. Because the wife never forgets.
And I'm like, then I was able to have a happy answer, a better answer, as I've seen what happened and how beautiful it was and how it's the right thing. But I was not, in the minute, I was like, oh, wow. I always thought that why dad was crying walking down the aisle was because, you know, his daughter's getting married. I'm losing my daughter. That's totally selfish reason. You know?
Right. No. And it's true that the grief comes out in many different ways as well, like we talked about earlier, in case you're just tuning in. But I think that's kind of where I'm at sometimes. It's like in the past, I would respond a certain way, and now I'm choosing not to. It sounds so weird when I talk about it out loud now, but you almost respond in a little bit of an anger or frustration that you can't go back to that familiar, in a sense. And then you start feeling guilty that you have that attitude.
Yeah. But shame, guilt never healed anything, right?
Yeah, no, it's
we're
true.
Okay with grief, but one of the stories I'm going to tell in the seminar, and I won't go into the whole thing, but there was a terrible death in my life of someone very, very close to me my freshman year in college, and how I responded, because I was there at the moment. I held a lot of grief, and I held a lot of guilt and shame. If I only had done something different, I only had realized what was happening. I felt responsible for it in ways that was totally untrue. But I felt that, and realizing later on in life that held me back. It also pushed me towards being a minister, because I remember I'm just saying, dear God, I'm such a selfish, terrible person, you know. And now, his name was Dave. Dave's dead. You know, use me for something. And I get a phone call a couple months later from an inner city Spanish speaking church downtown Grand Rapids asking me to be their youth leader. I probably would have said no prior to this, but I was open to it, and it transformed my life.
Wow, that's amazing. This seminar coming up on November 9th, will it be good for those who want to learn how to handle others grieving?
Yeah, it would be. It would be, because to understand another's grief pathway is to just understand it and to encourage them. The first time I ever did this was at my church, and then later on I was asked at Westside Community Church to present it again, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when I realized, when the service was over and I was mobbed with people up wanting to talk to me about grief, that this is a big deal, and there's so many different things people are grieving.
Yeah.
They're grieving a prodigal that will never talk to them. They're grieving the loss of a work that you're talking about. They're grieving sickness and a transition that left them. They're grieving old age and what they're not like anymore and what they've lost along the way. So many different things. And it's important to realize that we're not alone in those pathways.
Yeah. Yeah, because when someone's grieving, the other person on the other side, it can get real awkward real fast. And people, in their uncomfortableness, I believe, just say things they don't mean to or even need to.
Absolutely.
And I think, that sometimes it's not the time to quote the Bible, even though you may know it.
Yeah. You know, when I was a hospital chaplain, I worked for a hospital in the Jackson, Michigan, in downtown. And I would call in pastors, priests, elders, you know, Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, you name it. I saw everything, and we would attend to them. So I was a young chaplain. I watched. I wanted to see, you know, what anybody and everybody did. And sometimes the really liberal pastors, or they were guys and gals, they did the best job. because they came offering nothing and no answers and didn't quote scripture, right?
Sure.
They just joined in and wept.
Oh,
and I'm like,
wow,
the liberals got something that the conservatives don't, because the conservatives show up and they get out their baseball bat and they're like, hey, this is God's will. You know, each day ordained for us was written in the book before any come to be. All things work together for good. They're quoting scripture at 1,000 miles. The day was the day that he met heaven, you know, and Jesus, he's holding onto Jesus's face. And these people are collapsing in front of them.
Sheesh.
We need that truth. We didn't need it in the moment.
We don't need to be Bible answer, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's.
I'm not saying be liberal. I'm just saying.
Right.
Be careful. Job's friends were fantastic, right? Right?
Yeah.
For 7 days, they sat in. I've never sat for 7 minutes in a tragedy and was quiet. And but they sat for 7 days and didn't give an answer. And then they started speaking for God. And then they went off the cliff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tim, thanks for hanging out today for a little bit.
Glad to.
The conversation about grief coming up, Community Impact Luncheon. Just invite someone. What would you like to say to them?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, right now I know that somebody's listening to me and saying, hey, so-and-so ought to go to this, whoever it may be. By the way, I have people that will call me on the phone from another city, another place, or whatever it might be. Well, tell them you want to buy them lunch and take them to this, right?
Yeah.
Go with them so you can have the conversation. Make this part of who what you're doing that day.
Sure.
And say, hey, this is going on. It's not in a church. It's not part of a particular church. It's part of a community that we need to talk about grief. Mm-hmm. And it's so important because right now we're heading into the holiday season, which seems to intensify things around Thanksgiving and Christmas. Some people, it is not the happiest time of the year.
It's also an election year.
It's also election year.
A triple whammy.
Yeah. But anyway,
sorry,
I never go political.
Take it off the rail there. You know me. All right. Listen, show up to this. It's going to be awesome. Community Impact Luncheon, November 9th. It's a Wednesday from 11:30 to 1. So just ask your boss for a little extension on your lunch hour and come join Pastor Tim for a conversation about grief and how to walk the healthy pathways of grief. Tim, thanks again.
You're welcome.